So let's open the Word of God and let's turn to Mark chapter 8 and in verse 34. We've been going through a series in Revelation where we read that this great multitude comes out of the tribulation. And we are learning that tribulation is not just a temporary thing. Tribulation is something we go through continually. We learned last week, we go through it. Why? Because God is using trouble, trials, and tribulations to shape us and conform us to be more like Him. And today we'll go further into that. And we'll go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. And I read, and you can open your Word and read as well. If anyone, Jesus said, would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Didn't we just sing about that? Repetition is a good thing, to hear it sung and to read it ourselves. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Wow. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Father in heaven, thank you for this truth. And sometimes there are truths that you give us that are so deep and so wise that we have difficulty understanding them. So we pray for understanding. We pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of that are in our head to see the Word, and in our heart to live it through the Holy Spirit living in us. Help us, Lord, to see this Word. Open our eyes and help us to repent. Let the Word correct us and guide us, because we want to be more and more like Jesus. So we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. The message that I want us to embrace today is this. Embrace the cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. I'm adding to that just a little bit, because I think it is more than, okay, I'll take it up like I take up my handkerchief. No, God wants us to embrace the cross. It speaks of ownership, identity. And so my message is, embrace your cross and rejoice in your trials, in your tribulations. Embrace the cross and rejoice in Jesus. I've got a cross here. I got an old rugged cross. And God wants us to embrace it. Why does this sound so unique? We embrace it because the cross in Jesus' day, the cross that Jesus was crucified on, was not a symbol of joy or rejoicing. It was a symbol of shame, in fact. On that cross, they nailed and crucified our Savior and criminals. It was not something of honor, but of shame. And it's interesting how God takes something that was not honorable or great, where prisoners were, and he changes it in its meaning. And we are identified as Christians more than anything else is by the cross. You see, the cross, if you look at the straight beam that goes up and down, is emblematic of how God sent his Son, and he came and showed himself to be righteous and holy in his life. And he showed himself to be a just God. This is what God has done. He's come and died for us like a common criminal. It shows us how much he loves us and that he is not only loving, he is just. Every sin of everyone was atoned for on that cross. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. The cross beam shows that his love goes out to all who will believe in him. So God comes down, and then his love is spread abroad in our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the most prominent and meaningful symbol of Christianity there is. Now, some will say, well, what about the resurrection? We'll be celebrating that in a few weeks. That is wonderful. But it only completes, and I don't want to minimize it, but I want to maximize the cross. Because without the cross, there is no resurrection. There is no joy. There is no peace. And that's why this was a symbol of the early church and of us still today, of God's justice in the crucifixion of his son and his love that is spread abroad to all who will believe him and embrace him. I'm going to put that cross down. I don't want to gesture and boom, knock myself out. I've hit myself in the head a few times. Right, honey? You said amen to that. Even getting in the car. Boom. All right. Enough of that. Enough of that. So he says, take up your cross. Take up your cross. I want to read it again. Take up your cross. We don't want to take up a cross. We want to take up good health, right? We want to take up lots of money. We want to take up health and wealth and then follow Jesus. But we don't want to take up a cross. And sadly, more and more in our era, and especially in America, people think of following Jesus and they think of health and wealth and the prosperity. We've bought into the culture we live in. That is not the cross. And nobody wants to suffer. I get that. I don't like pain. I've confessed that many times. But God has called us to something greater. It is interesting how he puts it here in chapter 8 and verse 34. If anyone would come after me. See, it's a way of suffering and joy. Let him deny himself. We don't want to deny ourselves anything. We want it all. We want to taste it. We want to feel it. We want to experience it. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. Let him deny himself and take up the cross of rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. And there are people, and it affects all of us from time to time, we will do anything to be accepted. But if you have the approval of the world, you will not have the approval of God. You can't have the world and God too. They're opposites. So you got to take up your cross. It's a sacrifice. This is written to the first century church and to us. It's written to the folks in Rome, the folks in Sardis, the churches all over. This message is a message of revelation because many of the Christians in the first century were suffering persecution from Rome, persecution from neighbors, persecution from those Jews who rejected Christ. And again, Revelation was written so we would not give up and not give in, that we would endure to the end. We would endure by knowing that God sees us. That's why we read the scripture from Genesis 16, that he is the God who sees. El Aaron. The God who sees every tear that falls, every pain, every difficulty, every rejection, he sees you. And he sees after you. All your needs. And if his eye, Jesus said, if his eye is on the sparrow, you know he sees you. And it's not just a seeing you, he is with you. Isaiah 41, my favorite scripture, verse 10. God talks about, I'm going to paraphrase it in my own words for time's sake. I'm not going to turn there. Isaiah 41, 10. Read it after services. He says, I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm paraphrasing. For I am with you. Even as you are crucified. Even as you embrace your suffering, not running from them. We don't run from them because we know that God has given them to us. And they can be a source of joy and fulfillment. Joy coming from Christ in the suffering. There was a lady. She was born blind, frankly. She could not see when she was born. And the reason why she could not see is because she had some kind of eye ailment when she was born. And there was a doctor who attended her. And this was, she was born around 1820, somewhere in that period, in the 1800s. They didn't have sophisticated medicine like we do today. And the doctor made a mistake in treating her eyes. And he put something in her eyes that blinded her for the rest of her life. And you know what her attitude was like? Her attitude was not one of regret or of resentment. She didn't want her parents, as they would have today, to go out and sue the guy and get the guy. No. She looked at it as a gift from God. Let me read to you what she wrote. She says, "It seemed by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind." Now, that takes some faith. You see, and when you realize that your suffering doesn't come from the devil, you'll stop trying to, "Well, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name." That's not what this, listen, that the devil can't do anything that God does not ordain. And instead of rebuking the devil, we ought to embrace the cross, whatever your cross is. And this girl embraced her cross. As she got older, this is what she wrote. "It seemed," I'm going to repeat it again because we need to have the same attitude. "It seemed by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life." Many of us would name it and claim it. No. I'm not blind. I'm just waiting for my healing to come. No, you're blind. She was blind all my life. And I thank him for his dispensation. She praised God. That's why the point of this sermon is embrace the cross. Whether your cross is blindness, whatever the suffering may be, embrace the cross and rejoice in Jesus who gave that to you. Paul had his thorn of the flesh. He came to see it was a blessing and he rejoiced in it. "It was the providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for this dispensation." Her name was Fanny, born in 1820. And God used her mightily. God used her blindness. She said at one time, "If I was not blind, I could not see." Wait a minute, what are you talking about, lady? "If I was blind, I could not see the hand of God. I could not see and sense how God was working in my life. If I could see, I would be distracted by hundreds of different things. I see the Lord. And he worked mightily." She wrote approximately 1,000 hymns and poems, blind. It was just her and her mother, for her dad died when she was 2. Her mom had to take a job as a maid, as a servant. And it was her grandma who raised Fanny. And her grandma was a Christian. And her grandma would read the scriptures to Fanny. And because she could not see, she could hear. And she could really hear the word of the Lord. And she memorized whole chapters and books of the Bible. And so her writings and her and her music, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Or All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I'm blind, but my Savior's leading. We sing those songs over 100 years later because this little girl became a woman, blind, blinded. She was not bitter. She didn't want to go after the doctor who blinded. He later died. You know what she said? She said, I wish he was still alive so that I could thank him for making me blind. No bitterness there. She, number one, knew it was the hand of God, and she saw what God did for her with the cross he gave her. Had it not been for the cross, none of us would be saved. But it is because of the cross of Jesus Christ we have salvation. And it's because of the cross he gives you. And he says, daily, over there in Luke 9, daily take up your cross. It's not a one-time thing. You say, oh, I wish these crosses would go away. I got this cross, that cross. No, it's the way of the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, if Jesus had the cross and we're called to follow him and be like him, should we go through the same things that Jesus went through and rejoice? He says in Hebrews, and I'm running ahead of myself. It says in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 12. It says, Jesus said, for the joy, the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Wait a minute, did Jesus understand something that most Christians miss? That there's joy in the suffering. Because you know he sees you. I am the God who sees and sees after you. You're not alone. He knows your name. We just sang that. He knows you personally. He knows, known you all your life. And he sees you. He sees every tear that falls, every trial and every struggle, every failure, every sin. And he loves you. He really loves you. And so for the joy set before him, you know why he had joy? Because he embraced the cross. He knew that he was going to give his life. And so he knew there was joy there. That in sacrificing his life, he would come into joy. For the joy set before him, he endured it. He did it to get something out of it. You mean he got something out of it? Yes, he got joy. You know why? Because God has given us joy. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc., etc. He was therefore going to the cross to give the greatest and the fountain of all the fruits of the Spirit, which is love. And out of love, out of giving and sacrificing, comes peace and joy. You can rejoice in the suffering because you are embracing the cross and you are denying yourself. Let me go back to my text in Mark 8 and in verse 34. Mark 8. In verse 34, let a man or a woman who's after me, you have a passion for God more than you have for stuff. You have a passion for God that takes rejection more than being accepted and applauded by people and what people think of you, but what God says of you. You deny yourself, but not seeking recognition or retribution. Well, I know one day God's going to get him. God got all of us on this cross. Instead of getting us, he died for us. Instead of getting even, like the sons of thunder, when they went through a Gentile area. These two disciples, John, I forget the other disciple, who was a part of that. They said, these people were throwing rocks at the disciples, whatever they were doing, mocking them. And they said, Jesus, let us fall, bring fire down from heaven and consume these, whatever they would call them. Okay? And Jesus said, whoo, whoo. James and John, call them sons of thunder. He says, I did not come. And I'm going to paraphrase Jesus now. I didn't come to destroy life. I come to give life. He's come to give us life on the cross. So I don't have to get even to what people have done against me or said against me. Jesus got even with us all. And he died for, he took it. And therefore he experienced joy. You cannot have joy looking at what folks have done to you or have said about you or treat you. It's miserable. It's hell. It really is. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Here, right here, I paid the price for all the sins of mankind. He says, believe and deny yourself. Revenge. Deny yourself having this or that. Take up my cross. He was mocked. And on the cross, he said, Father, when I'm dead, take care of him. He says, no, Father, do not hold this against them. They don't understand. They don't get it. But in dying, he showed them. He died and loved them to show what it's all about. But to do that, we must deny ourselves. We must deny our rights, our entitlement. We don't live under entitlements in the spirit realm. We don't live according to our rights. We live according to our faith in Jesus Christ. We live by his blood. Take up your cross and follow me. It's denying yourself all these satisfactions. For whoever would save his life will lose it. If you're saving your life, and you say, okay, this is mine, and that's where my life is, you're going to lose it. You can't hold on to it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, you deny yourself being well thought of. You deny yourself of having this and that. You deny yourself of making it right. You deny yourself to get even. Oh, yeah, but that's karma, baby. Karma? Karma is not a person. Karma is some riddle some people give, or some Indian religion where you come around and, no, it's a resurrection. And you quit come around, go around, man, karma is going to get them. And que sera, sera, what will be, will be. No, God is the God who sees. Anything that is, anything God does is not karma. Anything God does, even the blinding of Fanny Crosby, is gone. She said, if I had one prayer to be answered right now, it's that I would be made blind. Can you imagine that? You said, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm not there. But hey, Jesus said, follow me. It is a road of suffering. And he's with us. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid. I am with you. You're not going through this on your own. A pastor met Fanny, and Fanny and all of her writings and abilities, even though she's blind, she said, and the pastor said, it's a shame. I'm paraphrasing now. It's a shame that you're blind. You could have done so much more if you had sight. And he told her, she told him, no, sir. This is a blessing. No. You see, I have the blessing that in heaven, I will see for the first time. And what I will see is my Savior. I will see Jesus. All the other things I could have seen as I lived these years, I have no regrets. I rejoice that I'll have experience of seeing one face and one face only, and that's the face of him I love and who has blinded me. No, I don't want to be healed. I want to be just like God, just like Jesus has made me. See, she denied herself even the possibility of being blind so that she may embrace Jesus. Now that's taking your cross and embracing it. She embraced her blindness. What is your problem? What is my problem? What is that keeps you up at night, or some unfulfilled desire? I'm telling you the good news that it's in Jesus Christ. Because if you try to save your life and get what you want in this life, you're going to lose it. What if you could have? The devil came and made you a deal. Look, you can have anything you want. You see, the devil came to Jesus and God allowed that temptation. What if the devil came to you and said, hey, you can have everything you wanted. You can have popularity, you can have health and wealth, you can have this and that and the other thing. For 80 years, okay? For 80 years, you can have everything you wanted. But at the end of those 80 years, you will lose your soul. You will lose all your peace, all your joy. You will be in torment. But for 80 years, you can have this. You see, what deal is that? What bargain is that? That's what Jesus said. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? He said, don't make sense. Come and follow me. Come and embrace the cross. And you know that that's from God. And that helps with the bitterness. They did it. Now, God, he didn't do it, but God ordained and made his providence, his dispensation, that for you to conform you. I got so much to say, and I appreciate your patience, but I'm going to move on a little bit. I want to move on. But realize he's the God that sees us, and he calls us to self-denial. Jesus said this in Acts 20. It is more blessed. You want to be happy? Don't make a deal with the devil. Follow yourself. You want to be blessed? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. In the gospel, it is revealed to us, it is in the giving that we have the joy, not in getting. See, this is totally opposite. And frankly, a lot of, well-meaning Christians believe it's in the getting. It's not. It was never designed. Your spirit is designed to coalesce with God. Remember that hole in the soul I talked about? It's God shaped. It's not Maserati shaped or monster trucks or whatever. Or that beautiful person. Or that person that says, oh, I love you, you're the most wonderful. Don't buy that stuff. It won't fulfill you. I'm telling you the real deal today. I'm telling you the gospel. There's no profit in that. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life will gain it. Amen? I want to go on now. I want to talk about the fact that God sees. Yes, the sparrows, and he sees us. And he calls us to embrace it and come after him. I want us, as we come to the conclusion of this sermon, I want you to listen. This is not one of those singing songs. I don't have songs that are not to be sung, but it ends up in praising God anyway. I want you to know how much God is involved in your life. And if you trust him, he sees you and he sees after you. And I want you to just listen to this song and let the Spirit of God minister to you The song's entitled, The God Who Sees. He sees you. Let's just hear the word. Everything, and in particular, he sees you. He sees you in every situation of your life. And he's there to give us strength through faith in him. The body and the blood of Jesus. He's our Savior. In John, the sixth chapter, Jesus had fed the disciples. And then he went on the other side of the lake. And Jesus, in verse 26 of John 6, answers and says, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me. And not because you saw miraculous signs, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He says, you were looking for me for the wrong reason. Not that I did not want you to have the loaves and the fishes. That is not what satisfies you. That is not your hunger. Verse 27, he says, do not work for food that spoils. All of our lives, we work and work and we do this and that, and we should work. But why do we do it? To reach a certain class, to accomplish this or that, or do we do it for the glory of God? He says, do not work for food that spoils. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it because it will spoil. The only way to live forever is through faith and dependence on Jesus Christ. It does not make sense to exhaust yourself in trying to make a life when only God can give you life. And if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ as your bread and as your wine and as your life, please, please don't let this day, don't let this hour pass you by. There is no satisfaction. There is no joy. There's no fulfillment but in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 27, and do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. It's his guarantee that you will find life and life everlasting. I'm going to skip down now to verse 47. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. You want to live forever? Believe that Jesus died on a piece of wood for all your sins. And he rose again to give you life. Let that be your focus. Let that be your trust. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the one who satisfies. Your forefathers, they ate manna in the desert. They weren't satisfied with that, and they died. Then they wanted quail. That didn't. Nothing satisfies but God. So why spend your time and your energy running after something that cannot satisfy? When Jesus says, here I am. I'm the God who sees you. He's personally calling you. And says, trust me. I see you. I know your hopes and dreams. I know your disappointments. I know your hurts. But I'm the only one can fulfill what you're seeking. Your forefathers, they ate the manna in the desert and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die, will not forfeit his life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which will I give for the life of the world. The Jews got upset about this. Now, verse 53, they didn't understand. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, depend on him for your fullness, for your strength, for your satisfaction, and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It's guaranteed. And I will raise him up at the last day. You will not forfeit your life. But if you build your life, you build your house on a stack of cards of pleasure, prestige, wealth, sex, drugs, there is no life. There is only death. As Jesus said one time, why will you die? What keeps you from believing? Come to him. Embrace his cross. And so, Father, I ask you to bless this bread as we eat it. Thank you for the bread of heaven, Jesus. Let us be satisfied, Lord. Reach out to the hungry soul and fill them. Fill them, Lord, with Jesus. So bless the bread and let us experience that fullness. And come, Jesus, and live. Live in those who are searching. Who knows there's something missing, but they're hesitant. Call them, Lord. Empower them. We ask you to bless the wine. We thank you for the wine that points us to the blood. All the blood. Thank you for the blood you've applied to us. And that is free for anyone to come. Come and drink. Come and accept. Have your thirst satisfied. Have your soul quenched. Receive the blood of Jesus that he gave freely. Don't let it pass you by. This is for real, and this is forever. So we ask your blessing. And those who do believe, Lord, help us to embrace the cross, to embrace the blood that you shed on the cross. And not embrace other things. And find our fulfillment continually. For we need to take up our cross daily, moment by moment. Help us to do that, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And while we eat and drink, we're going to sing, embrace the cross.
Brokenness, he shines. Life becomes a shattered dream that's slipping through my trembling hands. I need to know that you are near, to know you see each falling tear. When there is no one else who understands, when I can't find the words to speak, you hear the pain in each heartbeat. Before I even call to you, in my deepest hour of need, that's when you come and pour your mercy on me. Your beauty shines, your love surrounds, where cries of brokenness are found. Bring hope alive. Help me believe and trust you one more time. In brokenness you shine. In brokenness you shine. Comfort be a living thing, a river flowing from my grief, where thirsty souls can drink their fill and find in you their heart's release. And through my sorrow show your freedom and hope. love surrounds, where cries of brokenness are found. Bring hope alive, help me believe, and trust you one more time. In brokenness you shine. How could I know when others said a word or two, then walked away, that you, the man of sorrows, would come near to stay? You always stay. Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Embrace the cross, Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure eternity can't measure, what Jesus holds in store. The love the cross requires, cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion, only he can fashion our hearts to move as his. Cross, our desires rest in you. Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulder. Embrace the life that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross. is the cross, the cross of Jesus.